Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is where we're going to be, the first four verses of here. Again, I want to welcome those of you who may have slipped in after we did the official welcome earlier. Welcome to Grace. We're in the book of Romans, and we've finally made it to chapter 8, and we're going to be in here for a few weeks. We prayed last week for Trinity Church and Edgefield Baptist Church, two congregations that were deciding last week whether or not to merge together to form one, and they in fact decided to do that. So starting in January, there will be one church. This is a great thing. One church was a new church that is growing but did not have a building. The other church was a church with a building that was in decline. They both had the vision to come together, and they've merged together now. They will start that work in January. We've been praying for them because Trinity Church is a church that came out of Grace, out of our church. And so we're rejoicing with them and keep praying for them. Praise God for that. This morning, from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we're going to consider one of the most often quoted verses in all the Bible about God's grace. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But now I want to go ahead and tell you that we're going to look at this verse against the dark, bleak backdrop of human sin. And the reason for that is because this jewel of God's grace is in the context of saving us from our sin. And as we see both the backdrop of sin and then the preciousness of God's grace shines all the brighter in our minds and in our hearts. But, and I should say, we're going to take this passage into the practicalities of how we live every day in light of this gospel word of no condemnation and no bondage to sin. So be listening for all of that. Stand with me, if you will, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is God's word for us today. You may be seated. The reason that Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, is such good news is because without Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. And that's not an attempt to turn good news into bad news. That's not the point this morning. This is setting the good news in the context to show that it's even better news than we thought. How is there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ good news if there never was condemnation in the first place? You see, the backdrop of Romans 8:1 is actually Romans 7. If you have your Bible, turn, let your eyes scroll back to chapter 7, verse 24. It's the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Wretched is how Paul describes himself. Miserable. Contemptible. In a very low state, which he describes as this body of death, which is the presence of indwelling sin working its way out in our bodies. Wretched is what he says. If I came to you this morning and we met, you know, welcome to church, and how are you? And I said, "I'm wretched." You'd say, "Scott, we got to talk. Let's have a self-esteem talk. Don't be so hard on yourself." Why does Paul use this language to describe himself? Because he's describing the problem of indwelling sin in the human heart, and every honest person knows it. This is Romans 7. As Rob Timms pointed out a couple of weeks ago when he was preaching on this passage, there are various ways that this chapter is interpreted, and I believe Rob is correct in what he said, in that Romans 7 describes the relationship between God's law and the sinful heart. When God's law, which is good, God's ways, God's commands, confronts the human heart, it's like a collision. Because the sinful heart rebels against God's law, and God's law exposes the heart for being sinful. Sinful humans battle against God's will, resist God's will. And the result, as Romans has been telling us, is spiritual death, which is that state of being condemned before God. But Paul is in Christ. That little phrase, I mean, he uses it over and over. In this short verse we've read, he's used it at least two or three times. Paul's in Christ. That means he's united with Christ by faith. He's a Christian. He's justified. He's forgiven of his sin. So if he's in Christ, which means all things are new, why does he still call himself wretched? Because Paul knows that even as a forgiven sinner, indwelling sin remains within him, creating a conflict. He described it. Chapter 7, the end of it. He said, I want to obey God because I know that God's word and commands and law is good and it's written on my heart and I want to do it, but still I battle with indwelling sin. I'm tempted, I'm tried. And Paul says he is unable to obey God. Here's a key phrase, by his own strength. He's unable to obey God by his own strength. So Paul is saying that he needs a new power to obey. He needs a new power to kill sin, a new power to walk in holiness as God has intended him to do. And so he wrote that in Romans 7. Romans 7 is the state of wretchedness. He says that a person not in Christ, outside of Christ, not a Christian, not in faith, is wretched, miserable, in a bad state because he or she is in rebellion against God's good law, exposed by the law as sinful and now under condemnation. But Paul's also saying that the person in Christ still senses his or her wretchedness because now, even though forgiven and no longer condemned, realizes he cannot obey God in his own strength. And he realizes the power of indwelling sin within. And so he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? And we say it too. Is that not the cry of your heart? It's mine. Who will deliver us from this power of sin seeking to work its way out in our bodies? Who will deliver us from the condemnation because of sin and from the bondage to indwelling sin? And before we even answer the question, let me just say, the Christian experience is unique in this way. It does not avoid the reality and the awareness and the acknowledgement of wretchedness. Apart from the work of God in our hearts, we will do everything we can do to be anything but wretched. But the Christian experience, the Christian faith, the Christian gospel calls us to be aware of this reality and to acknowledge it. In fact, if you read the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're the four gospels in the New Testament. And that's the place you would go to in the Bible if you want to read about how people actually encountered Jesus when he walked on the earth. Great accounts of people interacting with Jesus. And if you read there, you'll find that it's not the self-righteous that experience Jesus. It's the wretched. It's amazing. It's the people who know they're helpless. It's the people who know that they sense their own miserable state of being condemned before God. And they acknowledge it. And they say things in the Gospels like, "Have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner." They don't say things in the Gospels like, "Help me do a little better because I almost got there on my own, and if you just boost me up, I'd get over the top." They say, "Have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner." You see, it's the people who know their sinners and their wretchedness and their need who meet Jesus. Wretchedness, you see, Paul says, "Wretched man that I am," verse 24 of chapter 7. Wretchedness leads to the cry for deliverance. And this too is unique in the Christian experience. Because in our own human way of thinking, we're trying to clean ourselves up for God and people. We're trying to pull ourselves up to God and people. We're trying to, if we think we've accomplished just a little bit of getting to God on our own, then we puff ourselves up. But the true realization of wretchedness leads us to cry out for deliverance, asking God to do what we cannot do for ourselves. So we must not avoid the awareness, the reality of wretchedness, nor the cry for deliverance, so that we can actually come to know God. When this is our experience, then we're going to look to another. We'll look to another for hope in this great dilemma that we are in, the dilemma of sin and death and condemnation. Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Verse 25 of chapter 7, he starts to answer the question. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now he knows there's hope, you see. Why? What is it about Jesus Christ our Lord? What has God done through Jesus Christ our Lord that we should be thankful for in relation to this wretched state that we are in? Now we are into Romans chapter 8. And here is the opening message. God, through Jesus, delivers us. God, through Jesus, delivers us from the power of sin. This body of death, which sin is working in and working through. And this is how God does it. 2 points today. Here's how Romans 8, 1 through 4 tell us that God delivers us from our sin. God has provided first, he's provided the way for there to be no condemnation because of sin. And second, he's provided for there to be no bondage to sin. If you look at the structure of these four verses, you see that these 2 points are made in two ways. First, verses 1 through 2 state the points. You see, no condemnation. Verse 1, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free, so no bondage. Verse 2, and then verses 3 and 4 just simply amplify that. So let's take them one at a time. Verses 1 and 3, how has God delivered us from the power of sin? This is how. He has delivered us from the power of sin's condemnation because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. Look at verse 3. God has done, by sending his son, God has done what the law could not do. What is it that the law could not do? Now, what is the law? The law is that standard of righteousness, that call to holiness, the commands of God, which are good. Perfect, the Bible says. But they can't do something. As good as they are, what can't they do? They can't save us. They can't make us right with God. And they can't make us holy. They can't make us look like Jesus. Not because the law is bad, but because this law, this standard of God's righteousness, this calling from God for us to be holy, lands on our sinful hearts. So it's our sinful hearts that cannot respond to the law for salvation or for holiness. So that means the law is weak to accomplish either of those things. What the law can do and what the law does is expose just how sinful we are. The law says, don't covet. And our old sinful heart starts to covet. And we say, oh, look at the coveting in my heart. It's kind of like the, you know, 70 mile an hour speed sign on the side of the road out there, you know. It just shows you that you want to go 75. It shows you that you've learned to do 79, you know, because they got that little saying out there, right? What is it? Nine, you're fine, 10, you're mine. Is that it? Is that the way it works? You go 9 miles over and you're fine. You go 10 miles over, you're getting a ticket. Yeah, and I just saw a father look at his teenager and put his... You didn't hear that, young man. The law, you see, exposes our sinfulness. But God did what the law could not do. The law can't save us. The law can't make us holy. How did God do it? He sent his son Jesus. He sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh, sent him in the likeness of humanity. Now, likeness meaning he came as a human, but he was without sin. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that he who knew no sin, Jesus is the only perfect human ever, but still he took our sin to himself. So God, verse 3, condemned sin in the flesh, meaning God condemned sin in the body of Jesus. We're going to take the Lord's Supper in just a bit. And that bread reminds us of the body, the flesh of Jesus. God has condemned sin in the body of Jesus on the cross in his crucifixion. That's where God was carrying out condemnation for sin. What does that mean for us? Back to verse 1. Do you see where it says in Christ? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It means this: by faith in Christ, we are united to Christ. In Christ is the description of us. So that now, this is how we can say there's no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. Christ was condemned for our sin. Our sin was condemned in him. So if we are in him by faith, we are no longer condemned. He's already been condemned for us. Do you see how God has delivered us from the power of sin's condemnation? Because he condemned his own son. His son took our condemnation in our place. Do you see how much God loves us? Do you see the very heart of God for you? We're sinners. The law can't help us because we're sinners. We can't help ourselves. God helps those that help themselves is not the gospel. We cannot help ourselves in relation to God. But God loves us. And he has dealt with our sin. He has condemned our sin. Not in us, but in his son on the cross. And he did it because he loves us. How many times does the Bible say in love, John 3:16, God loved the world, he sent his son. 1 John 4:10, because God loves us, he sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, God demonstrates his love for us that he sent Christ to die for our sins. God loves us, and so he sent his son into our sinfulness. Now, if you sin against me, I'm going to do one or two things, you know. Flight or fight. I'm going to run away from you or I'm going to come at you. But God is not moved by such human passions of flight or fight. We have sinned against God, and God actually moves toward us. The God whom we have sinned against actually came to us, sent his Son for us, taking on our kind of body, that he would take on the condemnation of our sin in that body and stand in our place there as the judgment against sin was poured out upon him. All because he loves us. He loves you. He loves you. That's why he sent his Son for you and me. Wretched people that we are, who will deliver us from this body of death? Thanks be to God, because he did through Jesus. And now there is no condemnation. Now our Heavenly Father, who provides for our justification, who says that we are no longer condemned through faith in Jesus, because Jesus is condemned for us, has also provided the way for there to be no bondage to sin. That's the second point. The first point is he provided that there's no condemnation because Jesus was condemned in our place and we're in him, so that covers us. Second, he's providing that there be no bondage to sin, that we be free from sin's power by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Father does not just leave us uncondemned but powerless. Our Father does not just forgive us and then send us on our way to try in our own strength not to sin again. There's still, as verse 3 says, verse 4 says, a righteous requirement of the law to be fulfilled. God still has commands for us to obey, namely that we would love God with our whole heart, that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the two great commands that Jesus gave us. They still are in effect. They have never ceased. They never will cease. And as we have said, even as forgiven sinners, we are still struggling with indwelling sin to keep those commands. We're still fighting the indwelling sin that is tempting us and moving us in the other direction. We still are deeply aware of our wretchedness if we are attempting to obey God in our own strength. We, like Paul, need a new strength. We need the power of another one working in us. We need the power of the Spirit enabling us to keep the great command to love God and to love others. So God continues to deliver us from the power of sin's bondage, continues to deliver us from indwelling sin by the greater power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We say that the work of Christ on the cross is how there's no condemnation, and the work of the Spirit in the heart is how there's no bondage. Verse 2 says this: there's a whole nother law, a new law at work within us. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from in Christ from the law of sin and death. The power, the principle, the law of the Spirit of life living in us through the grace of God as a gift from God is freeing us from the power, the law of sin that leads us to death. This too, verse 2, is for the person who is in Christ. He's speaking of our union with Christ. Romans 6 said we've been raised up with Christ. That's spiritual life. And the only way to be raised up with Christ, to have spiritual life, is to have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. This is the reality that Paul has already shown us. Romans chapter 5, God has poured out his love in our hearts through the Spirit that he has given to us. Romans chapter 6, to be alive in Christ is to be filled with the Spirit, to have the new way of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit in us. Romans chapter 8, which we're starting today and we'll be working our way through in the weeks to come, is all about life in the Spirit. Why does God give us his Spirit? Because our Father loves us and he wants us to share in his holiness. He wants us to share in Christ's likeness. This is what our Father has for us. Our Father has for us not just to forgive us of our sin. Our Father has for us to look like His Son Jesus. And to forgive us of our sins, He had to deal with its condemnation in Christ at the cross. And to make us look like Christ, He has to give us a new power. He has to give us the power of the Spirit. So again, it's from the heart of love that He gives us the Spirit. It's from the heart of God's love that He gives us the new law, the law of the Spirit, the new power, the new way of living. So we can put to death sin and positively live out the commands of God to love Him and love others. God's envisioned this all along. This was always God's plan. He said from the Old Testament prophets, I'm going to have a whole new covenant with you. I'm going to write my word in your heart. I'm going to put my Spirit within you. I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways. And now God has done it. In Christ, we have the Spirit. Wretched people that we are, who will deliver us from this body of sin? Thanks be to God. He has condemned our sin in Christ, and He has freed us from sin's bondage by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, how has God delivered us from the power of sin? We've been saying over and over that He sent His Son Jesus to be condemned in our place for our sin, so that united to Him by faith, we would have no condemnation. This is maybe the most important question that you have ever been asked in your life. Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin? Are you right now trusting in Christ alone? Have you received His forgiveness? Can you say that you have moved from condemnation to life? Are you in Christ? Are you a Christian? It's the most important question you'll ever hear. Because apart from that, the declaration is standing before God in our sin and death and condemnation. But through faith in Jesus, the declaration is there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Come to faith. Turn to Him. Throw yourself at His mercy. Believe Him. Be in Christ. And for those of you who are in Christ, rehearse this message every morning. Rehearse it every day. Rehearse it every night. This is a day, there should be a daily reminder that once for all, your sins have been dealt with in Christ. There's no condemnation over you. This is the message. It should be the first, last, and all the way in between message of every day of your life. You should repeat it to yourself. This is the declaration of the work of God for you in Christ from the heart of God, which is love, that should lead to you giving thanks to God and praising Him all throughout your day. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know what else? This is the declaration that is the shield that you take up to fight all of the flaming darts and accusations of condemnation that either you put on yourself or someone throws at you or the devil himself throws at you. You take up the shield that says, on the front of the shield, it says no condemnation, and you just brace it right there and you walk around all day long, because I promise you, and you already know, I don't have to tell you, you already know that every moment throughout the day, there is one moment of condemnation after another. You just keep rebuffing it, every one of them. No condemnation, not in yourself, in Christ Jesus. Listen, the greatest way you can honor the work of God in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins and pronounce no condemnation over you, the greatest way for you to honor that is for you to remember that and for you to preach that to yourself every single day, throughout all the day, and stand firm in that. Honor the work of Jesus. Don't dishonor the work of Jesus Christ by vacillating between condemnation and no condemnation. He died for you. He loves you. Honor that work by believing it. And He has given you the Spirit, which is the new power to break sin's dominance over you. Take up this reality by faith. Do you believe that? If you're in Christ, you have Christ's Spirit because He loves you. Daily surrender to Him. The greatest way to honor the Holy Spirit that God has given to you is to live in a personal relationship with Him of conversation, of honesty, of asking for help, of yielding to Him. It's the greatest way that you can honor. Listen, God has given you the Spirit, pouring out His love in your hearts, and you and I are called to honor that gift, to receive it by faith, to actually converse with the Holy Spirit, and to ask for help. When it's a human, you say, well, I asked for help once. It was okay. I asked for help twice. They got a little irritated. I'm not asking a third time. That's not the way it is with God. With God, in the Spirit, you're asking for help all the time, constantly, receiving the help and the aid of the Spirit. You're living in relationship with Him so that you can walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Determine now, you who are in Christ, determine now to honor the work of the Son by declaring to yourself and believing no condemnation. Determine now to honor the work of the Spirit by living in fellowship with Him and calling out to Him every day. Father, we pray that You will help us. God, we ask that this word today would do a work that only You can do. So let it hang there in your mind right now, congregation. No condemnation. Let it hang there right now. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. No bondage. Thank God for it. Cry out to Him now and ask Him that these two great words of grace would be like a seed in your mind and heart that bears much fruit. Let it be, our Father, in Christ's name. Amen.